Today's share is a schus for refuah shleima, for shalom and bracha. Today's share is Masechta Ksuvos daf mem tes. We will begin on daf mem tes and aleph, the first word. The Gemara, in our previous share, the Mishnah, the Gemara spoke quite extensively about a situation of Masar Ha'av l'shluchei Habal, where the father gave over his daughter to the shluchei Habal, and the discussion was, if at that point she's no longer under the control of the father. And the Gemara begins, Ve'ema, what is the halacha? Hecha hadr l'bnei nasha. If before the shluchei habal were able to give over the woman to the husband, she goes back to her father's home. What is the says the Gemara hadra? Does she go back l'milsa k'maisa? Is she already considered, does she go back to be considered as if she's in the father's home? With all of the halachas that come along with being in the father's home or not? Primarily, as we discussed at the end of the previous year, the halacha is that once the woman is in the category of Masor Av L'Shluchei Habal, so a Nara Marasa that has an adulterous relationship, we have often discussed, has a Chiv Skila. But we learned that if she is a nesua and she has this type of relationship, she is chayiv chenek. And we learned that Masor Av L'Shluchei Habal, at that point, she becomes a chayiv chenek. Now the question is, what will be the halacha as if she goes, before she actually entered the husband's home, she went back to the father's home. How does the halacha view her status? How does the halacha view her status? Amar Rava, says Rava, Hahu Kfar Paska, this question was already decided by the Tana Debei Rishmo. The Tana Debei Rishmo, the Pasuk says in the Parasha of Aforos Nadorim, Torah says, V'neder Amana Grusha Kasha Asra Anafsha Yakim Aleha. If a woman is divorced or an Amana, the halacha is that any neder she makes, there's no one that could annul that neder. And since there's no one that could annul that neder, the halacha is that he is obligated, that neder is as soon as she expresses it, becomes a full-fledged neder. Says the Gemara, Matam Aloymer. And the question is, why did the Pasuk have to teach it to us? Haloy Mitzos Mechlal Av Mershul Spal. This woman is certainly no longer under her father or her husband's control. So since she's no longer under her father or husband's control, it's obvious that no one has the ability to be made for her nether. Because as the Torah teaches us, when the girl is by her father's domain, he could be made for her nedarim. When she's a rusa, the husband and the father are made for the nedarim jointly. And when she leaves the control of, and if she's no longer in the sua, the case that we are now discussing, she becomes, her halacha is that she is on her own. Why does the pasuk have to teach us? Ella says the Gemara, the pasuk is teaching us. Harei shemasa av l'shluchei habal, oy shemasa shluchei av l'shluchei habal, nes armel nes garsha, hechani karba. The question is, what should I call her? Beis avia shazu. Or based Baal Shazu. How do we look at her? Do we look at her as being under the father's domain or the husband's domain? Ela loy malach, to teach us, kivish yotza shor achs mishusa av. The pasuk is teaching us, as soon as she leaves the father's domain, shuv eni yachalafaba. She can't go back. And here too, since she became an almana, a grusha, so obviously, so once she was out of his rishus, Masor Av l'shluchei habal, even if she comes back to the Rishus Av, it's obvious that once she's out entirely. Amar Papa, Afanan Naim Mitanina. I've also learned this because it says, Habal Nar Marasa. The halacha is that if somebody has relations, we spoke about this a few moments ago, with a Nar Marasa, the halacha is Ein Chayiv, he's not Chayiv Skila, for the special type of Chiv Skila, and what is the case? Bishlam and Nara, and the Gemara says, what is this Mishnah come to teach us? Nara is come to teach us that only when she's the age of a Nara, the Loi Begeris. Besula's come to teach us that this special halacha only applies to Besula, the Loi Bula, not to a Bula. Marasa, Loi Nesua. But the question is, Beis Avia, the Pasuk also uses the word Beis Avia. Beis Avia, what is it coming to teach us? Lamute Mai, says the Gemara, Lav Lamute, to teach us that Kishemasar Avla Shluch Habal, once she was given over to the Shluch Habal, she leaves her father's Rishus. Omer of Nachman by Yitzchuk, Afanana Mitanina. The Mishnah says, Habal Eshesish, Kivan Shenachnasal Rishus Habal Nasuin, she just came into his home, but their marriage was not yet consummated with a bia. So we see, just the fact that she came in to the Rishus Habal, that is enough to make that she's not considered under the father, that she's out of the father's control, and she's out of the father's control indefinitely. Says the Mishnah, Hav enechai b'nes pitai. A father is not obligated to support his daughter. And the Rambam explains that even though the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that a father is not mechuyev to support his sons either. The halacha, however, is when they're under 6 years old, the father has to support them. And if the father refuses to support them, Beis Din forces him to support them. And the Rambam goes on to say, this obligation applies whether if the father is a wealthy man or a poor man. However, when the children are above 6 years old, it's appropriate, says the Rambam, that the father should support his children, and Beis Din should do whatever they can to make sure that he supports them. Moreover, says the Rambam, if the father is a wealthy man, Beis Din will take money from him to force them to be supported. And the Rambam says that we can't take the money from him as an obligation to support. For the Rambam says, I just said that there is no obligation to support when the children are over 6 years old. But explains the Rambam, the halacha is that when a person gives tzedakah, his first obligation of tzedakah are to his relatives. So if Baruch Hashem, we're referring here to a father who has the financial means to support his children, says the Rambam, what we're learning here is that the Beis Din takes money from the father, not because he's obligated to support them, but rather the money that he's taking, the Beis Din is taking from him, is as tzedakah. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Zeh Medrash Darsha Belozer Ben Azariah, Fnei Chacham Bekerem B'Yavna. This was what was taught in the yeshiva in Kerem B'Yavna. The yeshiva was in the city of Yavna, and the Talmidim sat in the Beis HaMedrash in rows, just like when you have a kerem, just like when you have an orchard, the trees are lined up in rows. So too, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the day he became the Nasi, came to the yeshiva in Kerem B'Yavna and said this. Furthermore, says the Pnei Yeshua, that even though the Mishnah says that one is only obligated to, that a father is not obligated to support his daughter, says the Pnei Yeshua, that's only in a situation where she isn't turning over her wages to him. But in a case where the daughter is turning over her wages to a father, then the father is obligated to support. So again, says the Mishnah, Zu Medrash Darsha Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Bifnei Chacham Bekerem B'Yavna, Habanim Yirshu, that the children, the sons, collect the ksuba money, v'abanas yizaynu, and the daughters that a person leaves is that after he passes away should be supported until they get married or until they become baigris. and continued, Ma Barim Eni Yarshim, but the halacha of Yusha regarding the sons, which we're going to discuss more in the Gemara Mitzvashem, is El Achav Mises Av, because Hilchas Yerusha only kick in after someone passes away. Af Abonis Enin Zainis, the obligation to support the daughters, only kicks in Lacha Mises Avim. So the halacha of Habonim Yirshu is regarding the Ksubas Benin Dichrin. Ksubas Benin Dichrin means that a father, that if a woman dies, if a married woman dies before her husband, so her husband is her Yirish, and the Ksuba that she brought into the marriage now becomes his. If this man had multiple sons from multiple wives, so technically, all of them are equal Yarshim. And when he passes away, they equally distribute the money that he left. But there's something which was called the Ksubas Benin Dichrin. The Ksubas Benin Dichrin actually says that the amount, that extra, that the wife brought in as an adunya into the marriage should not be divided equally amongst all of the sons of this person who died, but rather the sons that he had from this wife should get that nedunya. And the reason this Ksubas Benin Dichrin was instituted was Chazal wanted to encourage a woman's father to contribute and give for his son-in-law a decent ksuba. But what is his concern? His concern is that his daughter will die, his son-in-law will inherit that nedunya, and then all the sons that he leaves over, who are the sons of his daughter's tzara, sons of his daughter's co-wife, will be the yarshim of those assets. And that will discourage him from giving a decent nedunya. By making sure with the Ksubas Benin Dichrin that nedunya will end up only with his grandsons, that will encourage him to give the proper ksuba, the proper nedunya. Begins the Gemara. The Mishnah said, Ha'av en echayev emezonis bitai. So what does the Mishnah seem to be teaching us, says the Gemara? B'mezonis bitai hu dein echayev. As long as he's alive, he doesn't have to support his daughter. Ha'bezonis benoi, supporting his children, he's chayev. Furthermore, bitanami, when we speak about the daughter, the Mishnah says, Chayvu deleka, there's no obligation for him to support her. Ha mitzvika, there is a mitzvah to support her. Ask the Gemara, if that's the halacha that our Mishnah is trying to teach us, so then mani amasnisen, who will be the tana of our Mishnah? It will not be able to follow any of their opinions. And the Gemara explains their opinion. The Tanya, the Braisa says, mitzvah lozen asabonis, there's an obligation for one to support his daughters, for kavachayim lebonim, and certainly one has obligated to support his sons, because his sons are asking b'tayra, because they learn Torah, and since they learn Torah, that's why, of course, we, a father, should support them. Divrei Remeim. Yudaima, mitzvah lozen asabonim, there's a greater mitzvah to support the mitzvah to support sons. However, the kavachayim lebonis, there's even greater mitzvah to support daughters. B'shem zelusa, it's difficult to require the girls to have to go collect tzedakah. And as the Mefarshim point out, what is the nafkamina between these two approaches? The nafkamina between these two approaches is when somebody has, Kivega says this, when somebody has limited funds. According to Rameyer, those limited funds should be first used for the sons. According to Yehuda, those limited funds should be first used for the daughters. Rav Yochanan Breiko, I'm a chayvel zayin asabonis lacham isis aviyam. There's an obligation to support the daughters after the father passes away. Ava b'chay aviyam, as long as the father's alive, elu ve'elu einin zayinim. There is no mitzvah even to support neither the son nor the daughters. So now ask the Gemara, Mani Masnisen, who's the Tan of our Mishnah? Ira Meir, if we're going to say that the Tan is Rameya, Hama Bonim Mitzvah. He says that there's a mitzvah to support the sons, but there's no chiyuv. And our Mishnah, it seems, that there's no obligation to support the daughters, but there is an obligation to support the sons. Rabbi Yehuda, if we're going to want to say that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says that there's a mitzvah to support the sons, not just the daughters, but it's not an obligation. Our Mishnah said that there's a mitzvah only by the daughters. Rabbi Yochanan Breika, a fila mitzvah nami leka. He holds that there's never a mitzvah. And our Tana holds that there is a mitzvah to support daughters. There's no obligation, but there is a mitzvah. So the Mara's question is that our Mishnah doesn't seem to follow any of the opinions. Answers the Gemara, Ibai Sam Rabbi Meir, Ibai Sam Rabbi Yehuda, Ibai Sam Rabbi Yochanan Breika. There's a way to explain our Mishnah according to each one of these opinions. And the Gemara explains itself. Ibai Sam Rabbi Meir, we can say that our Mishnah is filling the opinion of Meir. Vachkamer. And this is the way to understand what the Tana of our Mishnah is teaching us. Have any Machayev Mizonis Bitoi. A father is not obligated not to support neither a son nor neither a daughter nor a son. Ha mitzvah beita ikka. There's an obligation to. There's a mitzvah to support daughters, and certainly kavchaim lebanim. There's an obligation to support. There's a mitzvah certainly to support sons who are learning Torah. V'ad etani bitai. Why do we teach about the daughter that's a mitzvah, which can mislead us to believe that to a son, it's not just a mitzvah, to a son there's an obligation. Kamashmalan, the Mishnah is trying to teach us that even the daughter, who Ramea says doesn't have that level of chiv, because she doesn't learn Torah, the chayvahu delika, there's no obligation. Her mitzvah ikam. Bibay sema. Now we can explain the Mishnah that could be following the opinion of Yehuda. Vachkam, and this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Have ein achayv mizonis bitoi. A father is not obligated to support his daughters. V'koshke lebnoi, and he's certainly not obligated to support his sons. Hamitzvah, as far as a mitzvah is concerned, bebnoi ikka, there's a mitzvah to support the son, v'kavachayim lebanis. V'haditani bitoi. So if the mitzvah to support applies to boys and girls as well, why did the Mishnah only speak about girls? How Kamashmalan? Because the Mishnah wanted to teach us that even the bitai that one should support, it's only a mitzvah b'chayv aleka. Vibay seima, and we can explain our Mishnah be followed the opinion of Yochanan Breika. Vachkama, enechayim mezenes bitai. One is not obligated to support his daughters. Bu'adin lebnoi is not obligated to support his son. Bu'adin afila mitzvah na'mi leka. And there's no mitzvah by either. The Mishnah says, en chayiv, which seems to indicate that there's no obligation, but it seems to teach us there's a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, the reason the Mishnah used that wording is for a different reason. Because I did the bonus lachem mitzvah of him. Everything what we're speaking about now is only as long as the father's alive. But once the father passes away, then there is an obligation, as we explained, to support the daughters. So to contrast what the halacha is after he dies versus what is the halacha before he dies, the Mishnah says that after he dies is a chayva, and while he's alive, ain't a chayiv. But even a mitzvah, there isn't either, according to Rabbi Yochanan Breika, as long as he's alive. Amar Rabbi Eloah, Amar Eshlokish Meshim Rabbi Yehuda Bachanina. Bushah skinu, and Enusha, they made a rule, Shehezon Adam Esbonav Esbonaisav, that one should support his children, even though we're learning that they're not obligated, that one has to be, that one should support his children, Kshen Ktanim, as long as they're Ktanim. Before the Chumim Bayis Sheni, the Sanhedrin, we know the Sanhedrin place was in the Lishkas Agosis, next to the Beis HaMikdash. They went to Golis. First they went to a place that was near the Harabayas. Afterwards they continued going into Golis until they ultimately ended up in Usha. And Usha is where we find, as we're going to be learning, that they made different Takanas, different rules were instituted, and one of the rules that were instituted is, as we're learning now, Shei Adam Zon as Bonav Ubenoisov Kshen Ktanim. Till when is that? So Rashi says, Achi Yovik Stay Cyrus. And as the Tysus explains, until the children are 6 years old, they're obligated to support the children. After 6 years old, until they become Gedolim, the Usha they made up, they should be continued to be supported. So now ask the Gemara, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara, what is the halacha regarding one's obligation to support his children? Says the Gemara, Toshma, ki avosla kameda b'Yehuda, when somebody refused to support his children, came to Yehuda for the entire, amaluhu, he would say to them, yorod yolda, the big fish had children, v'bnei mas shaja, and he put the obligation on the rest of the city. What he's trying to say is, you had children, and Baruch Hashem, you had children, and you now are putting the obligation to support those children on other people. And that, of course, is inappropriate. So the Pshat in Rashi seems to make, they made a statement towards him. The individual who refuses to support his children is doing something inappropriate. The Ritva says it was a question and answer. Yorid Yolda, you should have children, and who should be supporting them if not you? And that's why it was understood that he has to support. Kava also the Kamed Rav Chisda. Similarly, if such an issue came to Rav Chisda that there was a parent who didn't want to support the children, Amalu Rav Chisda would say to them, Kafla Sisa Bitsuber, turn over a bowl, Velekim Velema, and get up and make the announcement, Orva Boy B'nei, the raven who takes care of his children, Vahu Gavra Loi Boy B'nei, and this person doesn't take care of his children. So Ritva says that why did they specifically turn over a bowl? So the Pasha Pshat is he should get up and make a public announcement. But he explains that turning over a bowl was a bad simon. And what they were saying to him is a person who refuses to support his children, it's a very bad sign. Ask the Gemara, is that true? The Arva Boy B'nei, that the raven takes care of his children. V'ksiv, the pasuk says, Noisin Levahem Alachnu Levnei Oyervashir Crow, which means that the children cry out for the food and the parents don't give it to them. So how is he saying that the raven supports his children? Answers the Gemara like Asha, Haba Chivri, Haba Uchmi. The way Rashi explains the Gemara is when the children are born, they're white. And a raven is black, an oyv is black. So the raven looks at these people, at these children, as they're not his children. Because how could they possibly be his children if he is black and his children is white? And that's why they refuse to support the children. But as the children get older and they turn black as well, that's when they're prepared to take care of the children. That is the pshat that Rashi suggests. Tosfos says that there are two different types of raven. There are black-colored ravens and there are white-colored ravens. And what the Gemara means to say is that the black-covered, one of those types, Tosfos doesn't identify, one of those types does support his children and one doesn't support his children. And when we're making this announcement, we're saying that this is like, you're like the type of raven that supports the children, but you're not supporting your children. We also mentioned the raven. I saw that the Shita points out that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that the parents, the Oyrev, the parents don't support their children. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he creates in their waist that they should have ants. And from that, these children survive. But what we're saying to this parent is that the children of an Oyrev have a way to survive. But if you won't support your children, there will be no one to support them. And that's why we're saying to them that you're even worse, that you're even worse than the raven. I saw that the Sefer Pesachim Zuta explains that what the reason the Gemara is using the raven as an example, because he says that if somebody once disliked someone and then turns around and likes that person, it's a much greater love than they've loved them all along. And that's why he says that what the Gemara wants to use the Oyrev as the simon, by saying that this Oyrev ultimately loves his children to a very great degree, and we and you don't love your children. But then I saw that the Aruch Yesharim explains, what does it mean with black and white? What the Gemara referring to, says the Aruch Yesharim, is that the obligation of supporting one's children is not only for financial support, that they should have what they live on, but support also means that they should become Talmid Chachamim. And that's why the Gemara picks the black and the white. A parent obligation is to change the color of his children, to be mechanech his children to become better people. Says the Gemara, Kavos l'kamei de Rava. When such a question would come to Rava, Amalei, Rava would say, Nichla the mitzvah benach mitztakah. So, do you want that your children have to survive on tztakah? But says the Gemara, as we learned in the Gemara, Kivulai Amaran, all these halachas only apply to Lai Amid. If the father is not a wealthy man, Avalam Amid, if the father is a wealthy man, Kafinale al Karche, then we force him, because that's tztakah. Kiyad the Rava Kafila of Nosan Barami, we once had a situation that Rava forced Rav Nosan Ba'ami, and he forced him to give 400 zuz for tztaka. And from here, Rashi says that the obligation is not a chiv of support, but the support, the chiv is for kot tztaka. And Rashi goes on to explain that the obligation, so if the children are entitled to tztaka, the halacha says, Rashi is, that one has to support his family members before he supports others, and that's one halacha. And furthermore, instead of the children coming to other people for tztaka, their father should be the first to give tztaka. So Tosfos, the V'Maskil Achvei, asked the question that the halacha is that we can't force people to give tztaka, because the Gemara teaches us that any mitzvah shematn schar b'tzida, the Gemara Masechta Chulin daf kuf yur amabeis, any mitzvah which the Torah tells us the schar for that mitzvah, we can't force people to perform that mitzvah. And when it comes to the mitzvah tztokah, the Torah Kedoshah says, nosun titen loy, ki b'glal adova azeh yivarech Hashem elkecha, that you'll be blessed for giving tztokah. So therefore, ask Tosfos, how could the Gemara suggest that we force the father to support his children from tztokah? We never force tztokah. So Tosfos says, the kaifa doesn't mean that we actually force him, we try to convince him. Another explanation is that in the city, the halacha is, if a city makes a tax that everybody should give a certain amount of tztokah, the halacha is that you could force somebody to give. Another teretz that is given, that by tztokah, there's not only a mitzvah saseh, there's a mitzvah loy saseh as well. Loy sa'amitz, loy sa'amitz zlavcha, loy sikbis is yotcha. And therefore, since there's a mitzvah, since at that point there's a loy saseh, on a mitzvah loy saseh, we can force somebody to give tztokah. Another pshat that Tosfos and Masechta Baba Basra suggest is that if the entire community accepted upon themselves that Bezdin should have the right to force people to give tztokah, then Bezdin has the right to give tztokah. The Tosfos in Baba Basra gives a different explanation. He says that when the Gemara says that Bezdin doesn't force to give tzedakah means that Beis Din is not obligated to force people to give tzedakah. But Beis Din has a right to do so if they think it's proper. So even though Beis Din is not obligated to force people to give tzedakah, the halacha is, if they do want to force people, the halacha is that they can. And that's why the halacha here is, they could, as the Gemara suggests here, if Beis Din sees the need, they could force given to give tzedakah. Another pshat that the Parish Yosef says, that the only mitzvah which Beis Din doesn't have a right to force is by the mitzvah of Kibbutz of Aim. And he explains, why can't Beis Din force people to do Kibbutz of Aim? Because the individual who doesn't do Kibbutz of Aim, he already hurt himself as much as possible. He lost that wonderful opportunity. But when it comes to tzedakah, there, if I won't give the tzedakah, somebody else will give the tzedakah. So there, Beis Din could say, we want you to have what is important. What's important is that you should have the mitzvah of tzedakah and not let somebody else have the mitzvah of tzedakah, and therefore we could force somebody to give tzedakah. We just finished learning, our Gemara taught us the obligation to support one's children. We learned that the obligation is until 6, and above 6 we have the Takanas Usha. Now, the question that's brought up is, can one use, if we're saying that it's tzedakah, as we just learned, can one use Maisa funds to support his children? So the Shach in Simon Reish Mem Tes, Sifkot and Gimel says, he quotes the Maram Ratenberg, that one is allowed to use tzedakah to support his children. And he goes even further on to say that even if one has the means, that he has the financial means to support his children, he can use tzedakah money, because as our Gemara says, that's supporting one child is not something they were obligated to do. We just learned in our Gemara that they forced people to use tzedakah money to support their children. So we see that Maisa funds can be used for tzedakah. The Taz disagrees. He says one should not use Maisa funds to support his children for tzedakah. Maisa funds should be used for other people's that need tzedakah, not for your own children. However, it seems that the opinion of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh in a Sefer Rishon LeTzion is agreement with the Shach. The Chidah also says that many people accept the Psak of the Shach and the Maram Rotenberg. He says, but it's not the right thing. What is appropriate, he says, is that one should use his own funds for supporting his children. The Sha'as HaTshuvas Avnei Tzedek, Yoyredei Simen Kuf Membeis, actually tries to suggest that there is no machloikus to Shach and Taz. And he says when the Shach allowed one to use Maisa money, he's referring to children who are above Bar or Bas Mitzvah. Certainly at that point, once the child is above Bar Bas Mitzvah, there's no obligation, and one can use tzedakah money. The Shach, and when a child is above 6 and below Bar Bas Mitzvah, since we just learned in the Gemara that Be'usha Skinu, the halach is one should not use tzedakah money. And so too is the opinion of Dar Aruch HaShulchan, says that even the Shach that says that you can use tzedakah money, he's certainly not to be followed. Ramosha, in the Sha'as HaTshuvas Igros Moshe, Yoridei Simen Kuf Mem Gimel, says that one is not allowed to use Maisa money to support children, even when they're above 6. And he says that halacha is particularly the halacha Bizman Hazeh. He says, why? He explains that in the time of Chazal, in the time of the Gemara, children went to work when they were above 6 years old. So since children went to work when they were above 6 years old, that's when somebody has a right to say, somebody instead of sending his children to work, supports his children, he's doing something above and beyond what he's obligated to do, and that's why he could perhaps, according to the Shach, use stock of money for that purpose. But nowadays, where nobody goes to work at such a young age, presumably it's illegal, then you cannot use stock of money for that purpose. But now the question is, can stock of money be used to pay schar limud? Could schar money be used to pay tuition? So the Shalos Teshuvah is Tav Das, and so too the Avos Chesed says that one may not use Maisa money to pay tuition. If one is paying and helping support that other children who are learning in yeshiva that need somebody to help them, for that, the halach is one could use stock of funds. But for one's own children, since one has the obligation, the shinantom of an echob, to teach his children Torah, he can't use maisa funds to accomplish that obligation. We know the rule is, Gemara says it often, the halach is that that one can't use stock of money for that purpose. One can't use stock of money for something called davar shebechayva. Anything that one is obligated to do, the halacha is einam elba enam menachulin. The halacha should be, it comes from chulin money. You may not use maisa money for that purpose. Says the Gemara further. So since we just learned in our Gemara a takana of usha, the Gemara mentions other takanas. If someone, while he's still alive, writes over all of his assets to his children, they're still going to be supported off those assets. And as the Mefarshim explain, Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi explains, he really doesn't deserve anything from those assets, but Chazal made a rule that he has to have what to live off. Others say that pshat in the Gemara is that it's obvious that when one wrote his assets, he didn't mean to give all of his assets away and not have anything to live with. So it's self-understood that what he meant to do was that he's giving his assets to his children, excluding what he and his wife need to live on. Maskler of Zera, B'taymer v'shmul ba'nachmeni, G'dulim zu emru, did they need to make this rule? Didn't they say a bigger rule? The halacha is that if somebody passes away and he left over a wife and a daughter, the halacha, and in this situation, his daughter is the Yairish, his daughter inherits his assets, and the daughter gets married. So even though once the daughter gets married, the husband is viewed by the halacha as the owner of these assets, as if he bought these assets at the moment of his marriage, still, and he, the son-in-law, that is not obligated to support his mother-in-law, the halacha is amana nizanis menachasov. The amana does take, get supported from those assets. Because we say that certainly the father, that the assets that went to the daughter were not to the degree that to exclude this man's wife from getting the support that she needs. So if the question is, if Chazal said, where in this case, the mother-in-law's right to those assets is a very weak right because she's not the owner of those assets, her husband's daughter yarshin those assets, and now the daughter's husband is the owner of those assets. So still, we see Chazal was so concerned for the mother-in-law. So certainly, when one had his own assets and gave them away, who vishta mebaya, is there any question that he's entitled to those assets? And the Gemara says, how do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, the Sholach Ravan Begarte. Ravan sent the following letter. Mishmeis. Well, somebody passed away, he left over a widow and his daughter. His widow is supported off those assets. This is Abbas. If the daughter gets married, and as we just explained, the daughter is the Yorish of those assets, and the husband now is the owner of those assets, amana nimzaynus min nechasav. The mana is supported off those assets. Meisa habas. Now, if the daughter dies, and her husband is her yairish, so the question is, does the amana continue to get supported off those assets? So says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda ben Achoy, Shab Yosef ben Chanina, Al Yadi Hayemaisa, I once had such an episode, V'amana amana nesanis min nechasav. So here we have the former son-in-law still being obligated to support his former mother-in-law. So certainly in our Gemara, where these assets were his, Mibaya, is there a question that he gets supported off those assets? Answers the Gemara, it's not Dafka Raya. Because Madatayim, Mahosam, who the Leketaruch. This Amana has no one to support her. So that's why the halacha tells her that the son-in-law, even after his wife passes away, should be the one to support her. Aval Hocha, in the case where the husband gave away all of his assets, and he's still here, so we can maybe make an argument, Nitrich l'didei l'dida, he should go out and earn a living on behalf of himself and his wife. Kamash Milan, that's what we're teaching, that's what we learned in Usha, that no, those assets are used to support him. Ibailuhu. So now the Gemara wants to ask, is the halacha kavasei or lesa kavasei? Is those assets go to support these people that gave him away? Says the Gemara, Toshma, the Rav Chanina and Rav Yosef have a kaimi, they were together. Also, gaver gochev and nashkel Rav Yochanan akarei. There was an individual who came and kissed Rav Yonasan on the feet. Amle Rav Chanina, my high, what? What are you doing? Amalei Kaisel Nechasel Abonavu. If he gave over all of his assets to his children, and still Vasasine Lazone, and he forced them to support them after he gave away all of his assets. So explains the Gemara. Yeah, Bishlam Alavdino, if we're going to say that is not the halacha, and he did it anyway, Hachasino, that's why we understand why they needed to be forced. And that's why we also understand why he was so appreciative that's what was done. Eli Armadina, if that's the halacha, then why a Shinabai? Rav Yonasan should have forced them. And he wasn't deserving of great credit. He just fulfilled what the halacha is. From here we see that the halacha is that really the parents are not halachically entitled. The halacha is, even though they're not entitled, but if the right thing is to continue using those assets. That's the way the Ramban and the Ra learn the Gemara. The Mordechai makes a distinction between of a man and a woman. He says a man has always the ability to make his own panosa. So therefore, if he wrote away all of his assets, the halacha teaches us that if he wrote away all of his assets, they're really written away, and he's not entitled to them. But a woman who doesn't have all of those assets, since the woman don't have all of those assets, then the halacha is that she is entitled to those assets that were given away, and not that she should have to rely on not have to rely on stock up.